Hi, Vanessa Denha-Garmo here, inviting you to tune into Epiphany. We're made to praise God and celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, communicate, and collaborate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon, only on Ave Maria Radio.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, into the desert. Feeling lost? Not sure how to handle a challenge you're facing? We've got the guidance you need to find your way through tough times. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, into the desert. We've all had those times where we feel a little lost, where we're not quite sure how to handle a particular challenge we're facing, whether it's a marriage issue, a personal struggle, an emotional problem. We are here to help you with the guidance you need to find your way through tough times. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And I think it's really important to realize that, you know, just because it's Lent doesn't mean we go through hard times and we just don't talk about it and we're stoic and we get through it and that's it. A lot of people kind of feel that way. Like, I'll just do it as my penance. I won't talk about it. We have to remember that through Lent, we are trying to lean into our relationship with Christ. And when he went through the Garden of Gethsemane, he called his people around him. You know, they fell asleep. He wished they had stayed awake, but they were there for him. He poured out his heart to his Father. His Father sent angels to him, and that's how he was able to be receptive to the will of the Father. But his human self was in agony and fear, and we have to look at his model of how we reach out to God and to others when we're going through any kind of worry or concern in our lives.
Well, and it's not just about sucking it up, right?
Exactly. He didn't.
There's in order for suffering to bear any kind of fruit, because, you know, as Catholics, we recognize that life involves suffering, and we're not afraid of that. But how do we approach it? Right? We approach it in a way that's redemptive. There's such a thing as redemptive suffering. And so it's not just a matter of suffering. It's a matter of how I approach that suffering in a way that allows me to become stronger because of it, that allows me to bring healing through it, that allows me to respond to it in a way that eases that suffering or rights a wrong or addresses the problem. You know, just like, you know, Christ didn't just carry the cross for the sake of carrying the cross. He carried the cross because he knew that was part of the passion, death, and resurrection, ultimately. And so we are called in this season of Lent to look at those challenges that we are facing, the suffering that we are enduring, and not just endure it, but really look at it through eyes of hope that enable us to respond to that suffering in a way that helps us grow, that helps us find healing, that helps us find peace, that helps us find answers. And that's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
So what we're asking today is there a problem in your life right now, in your marriage, your family, your parenting, your work, where you just feel stuck? You know you need to do something, but you can't figure out what. Are you dealing with an unexpected setback, a job loss, a healthcare situation, a relationship crisis? And do you feel like you're just in survival mode? Well, maybe you've been praying about a situation, but it feels like God is silent. Well, most likely, the problem isn't that God isn't speaking, but that stress is jamming up the signal. Let us help you tune back in and find the best way forward.
And we're going to talk more about this, but you know, this is a very broad topic in the sense that, you know, whatever challenge you're facing. But the reason we're doing that is because we want to talk about a mindset that enables us to face any problem more effectively. You know, somebody was asking me the other day, actually, you know, do you ever get a call that just kind of stumps you? And I was able to say, well, not really, because there's a, you know, as a counselor, you want to look at the difference between content and process. And let me explain the difference. So content is the stuff of the problem. You know, this happened and these are the things that went on. And, you know, so the content of the problem. The process, though, is sort of the big picture way you think about problems so that you can be more effective. And a really important part of being able to solve any of these problems, especially problems where we feel stuck for some reason, is being able to step back far enough to get out of the content and think, how am I thinking about this? You know, am I seeing this problem in a more solution-focused way? Am I able to break this down into its parts so that I can take one part at a time, as opposed to feeling like this huge boulder is rolling over me all at once? There's a way to think about even the biggest problems that enable us to feel like we have what it takes, especially through God's grace, to handle it and to overcome it. And that's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Speaking of which, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, how can some theology help me deal with this emotional problem or this relationship issue or this other challenge that I'm experiencing? Well, it turns out it can do a lot for you. See, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, looked at the question, if we took everything God's given us, scripture, salvation history, creation, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body has something really powerful to offer us in times when we're feeling so stressed about a problem in our marriage or our family or our work, anywhere in our lives, that we just can't think. Or those times when we pray, but it feels like the signal is jammed. We know God has a plan, but we can't seem to hear what it is. If that sounds familiar, though, the theology of the body reminds us of the importance of cultivating receptivity. That state of mind where we're open to God's grace, attuned to his voice, and ready to receive his guidance.
But here's the problem. When we're stressed or afraid, our brain literally flips a switch. Our thinking, discerning brain goes offline. And our emotional brain takes over, throwing us into survival mode. And when that happens, we react instead of responding. We scramble to control everything around us. And if we're not careful, we can actually get stuck there, running on anxiety and adrenaline, which doesn't just block clear thinking. It blocks our ability to consciously cooperate with the grace that God is pouring out to help us. You know, think of it like a snow globe. When you're shaking it, you really can't see anything clearly. But when you set it down and let things settle, the picture becomes perfectly clear.
Cultivating a receptive spirit means recognizing that our stress isn't caused by what is happening to us. It's caused by how our brain and body are processing it. So instead of trying to wrestle control over every external circumstance, our first job is to turn inward, fix our thoughts on God's love, mercy, and providence, and let our spirit settle in His arms.
And sometimes that's a job, you know, but when we can do that, something remarkable happens. Our thinking brain clicks back on. We start noticing our gifts and how we can use them to make a difference. We reach out for support. We begin to see even hard circumstances as opportunities to grow in strength or virtue. And step by step, even in the face of those biggest challenges, the way forward becomes clear. So let us help you do that today on More to Life. Our show today is titled Into the Desert, and we're talking about those times when you feel a little lost and you're not quite sure how to handle a challenge that you're facing, whether that's an emotional challenge, a personal challenge, a relationship challenge, or other issue. We've got the guidance you need to help you find your way through tough times. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity to bring to you those challenges that we face, because we know that all things work to the good for those who love you. And so, Lord, in those times when we feel stuck, when our efforts aren't paying off, when we feel like we can't hear your voice or know what the right thing to do is, help us to remember to stop running around and trying to fix everything outside of ourselves, but instead to turn inward, to find you in the deepest part of our heart, to calm down, to focus our energy on being able to tune into your will, so that we can, through your grace, turn our thinking brain back on and begin to break the problem down into manageable pieces, see ways that we could use the gifts you've given us to respond rather than react, gather support from the people you've placed in our lives, and learn how to use the challenges we're facing as an opportunity to become stronger, healthier, holier people, and grow closer to you through it all. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Into the Desert. We're talking about those times when we're feeling a little lost because we're facing a challenge we're not quite sure how to handle. So call us and share. Is there a problem in your life right now? In your marriage, your family, your parenting life, your work, where you just feel stuck, a little confused? You know you need to do something, but you can't quite figure out what. Maybe you're dealing with an unexpected setback, job loss, healthcare scare, a relationship crisis, and you're not sure what to do. Maybe you've been praying about a situation, but it feels like God is silent. Well, most likely the problem isn't that God isn't speaking, but that stress is jamming the signal. So let us help you tune back in and find the best way forward. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have an email here from Eddie, who sent it in at questions@moretoliferadio.com. He writes, Dear Greg and Lisa, I'm writing with a question as I am unable to call due to my job today. I will try to keep this as short as possible. 8 months ago, my younger brother and his girlfriend told us they were pregnant. They are both 20 years old, and at the time had only been dating for 8 weeks. We later found out that they had planned this pregnancy. My brother's girlfriend came into our lives under a pretense of being homeless. She told my parents that her mother was going to throw her out, so my parents allowed her to stay with them against their better judgment. We later found out that she lied, and her mother was not going to throw her out. Me and my family are very scared, as we feel that she negatively influences my brother in many ways, mainly faith-wise, but in other ways, such as how he behaves and relates to our family. My parents have expressed their deep hurt and concern to her many times, and there have been no signs of remorse or care for our feelings through the past 8 months. We are angry and feel that she has set my brother up to support her and has no consequences for her actions. She does not have a job or a driver's license and does not work even at home. My brother does virtually everything. My question is, how do we handle this situation moving forward with her? How do we navigate how do we navigate this with her when we feel like we are being lied to all the time? I would appreciate any advice you have. Thank you. And that's Eddie.
So Eddie, thank you for the question. I guess I'm confused about a couple of things. You're talking about her bad influence, which I understand, but you're not really focusing at all on your brother, who is the person you have the relationship with and who really is not exercising any of his judgment, right? You know, the way you're kind of telling the story, it's this, you know, she's got these powers that she somehow, influenced him.
And
if he had any character strength, he wouldn't be under that influence.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't make these choices that have put him in this situation. The problem really isn't the girlfriend. It's that your brother doesn't have well-formed character.
Yeah. But on top of it, though, we do have to remember here that she is now expecting a baby. And that is often used as a pawn in a situation like this. So I think they're saying, what do they do? They've opened their home to her, to this baby. And if they draw lines, what happens to the baby? What happens to the whole situation? So discerning through that is really what I think he's asking here. How do they handle this now?
Well, and again, I mean, I think that it's perfectly fine for you guys to ask your brother what you need from him in order to continue to stay at the house, but which leads to the second question. I'm a little confused about why are you, the brother, writing instead of mom or dad, whose house he's living in? Because you're limited as to what you can do, it's not your house, right? I mean, so really, what needs to happen is that your mom and dad need to be clear with your brother. Hey, look, this is what we expect from the two of you if you're going to stay in the house. You're welcome here. We love you. We want to support you, even though that might seem like a little bit of a stretch. But, you know, this is what we would need from you. And you encourage them to do things that are healthy and good and appropriate.
In terms of taking care of the house, getting the brother to make this girlfriend do things around the house, even if she has to do them alongside of him so she can learn some skills.
And even though she's pregnant, not staying in the same room together.
I think that's very important.
There's a lot that's happened here that involves poor judgment on everybody's part. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm just trying to say you're focusing on the girlfriend as the villain. But, you know, when she said, my mom has thrown me out of the house, the first thing I would have done was call her mom and say, what's going on? You know, so the fact that, like, nobody's
your parents
behaving
hearts,
responsibly in
your
this
parents'
situation.
Hearts were in a good place. They are pro-life people. They wanted to make sure this baby and the mother were taken care of. But a lot of stuff has gone unchallenged, unspoken at this point. And
so
you need to get this together before this baby's born, too.
Yeah, so the first step is your mom and dad need to clarify what it is exactly that they need to see from your brother and his girlfriend, and they need to talk to your brother about it. Because he's the one he's the one you have the most influence over. And if he's not interested or he doesn't care what you all have to say, then you can use consequences or boundaries to drive your point home or to say then you can't stay here. But you have to be clear about what you're willing to support and what you aren't. And it needs to start with your folks, not with you. So I appreciate your question, and I understand your concern for your brother. I'm just not sure that you have a lot to do about it.
Passing on this answer to your parents and having a real conversation about what they need to see to make this work and what guidelines and boundaries have to be set here.
By all means, download the podcast of More to Life and play it for your folks and then discuss this together. And no doubt some of the things that we've said will provoke you or have questions or clarifications. Feel free to write back or call in. We'd be happy to look at this again from another perspective. But that's the best we can do for you right now, Eddie. Thank you so much for the question. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today titled Into the Desert. As we talk about those times when we feel lost and we're not quite sure how to handle a challenge, we've got the guidelines you need to find your way through tough times, 877 877- 573-7825. 573-7825. And, you know, going back to Eddie's question, I mean, one of the first things we always have to consider when we're facing a problem is, what do I have control over? What do I have the power to impact on myself? And am I trying to do part of a job that's really somebody else's job to do? You know, so one of the reasons that Eddie feels so frustrated is because this is really an issue that his parents need to handle, and they need to handle it with his brother, not with the girlfriend. So being clear about what is your role, what isn't your role, who should you be working with and who shouldn't you be working with, those are some of the things we need to consider in facing down a challenge. So let us help you identify the principles that you need to look at to overcome the challenges you're facing in your life. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. That's coming up after the break.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Movement is prayer in motion. Whether I'm walking through my neighborhood, stretching in the morning, or simply rising to greet the day, I remember that my body is a temple, sacred, beloved, and designed to reflect God's glory. Each step becomes an offering, a way to honor the mercy that flows through me and around me. In moments of motion, I'm reminded that God is not distant. He moves with me, within me, my breath, my pace, my posture, all become part of a living liturgy. Mercy isn't just something I receive, it's something I embody. As I move, I carry compassion into the world. So let's reflect on Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. My coach's exercise for you today is this: take a short walk today, even if it's just around your home. With each step, whisper a simple prayer: Lord, walk with me today. This has been a Christ-Centered Communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Into the Desert, we're talking about those times when you're facing a challenge in your personal or relationships, personal life or relationships, and you're not quite sure what to do about it. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. She's also the mom of 11. So she's got a lot of stuff going on in family life. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
There can be so much that goes on in family life, and you have a lot of wisdom to share on this. What do you want to share with us today about how to get through these times?
Well, you talk about the theme of going into the desert, but sometimes our challenges are so big and so grave, we must join Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We really have. We have our hearts just broken open in sadness and in grief, in fear over what God is asking us to go through, what his will is for our family, for ourselves. And we have to follow Jesus's lead in that. He went to the garden, but he did not go alone. Remember that. He took his friends. Now, granted, they fell asleep, but he didn't condemn them for that. He was grateful for their presence. So when you're going through something, don't pretend like you have to, you know, suck it up, as it were, but bring people around you. Share it with your spouse, especially, you know, if it's something you're doing alone. Gather friends who will pray with you and pray for you. And then lean into that conversation that Jesus had with his Father. His human heart was breaking, and we can do the same with God. Lord, I'm scared. I'm feeling abandoned. I'm feeling alone. What you're asking us to do is more than I can do. you need to have that very honest, courageous conversation with God to open your heart so that he can come in with his spirit and his love to help you get through it.
I think it's so important to realize that, you know, we often feel like we're praying and we mean to be praying, and instead we're just spinning out in our thoughts. And to really put ourselves, as you're saying, in the garden and say, Lord, I am spinning out. I am having a hard time. I need you to be able to hear me through all of these thoughts. I need to be able to feel your presence and get your guidance from this. And even if we have to write it all out as we're praying so that we begin to coalesce our thoughts and it's not just that constant spinning, and we can begin to see what our real prayers are and we can have those moments, it's so easy to just want to go run and hide because it feels like there's so much pressure that we're under that by asking God to come into it, we're afraid he's going to ask us to do something even harder. And we have to realize that, you know, when Jesus said, you know, Lord, I'm scared, you know, Father, I'm scared, God did send his ministering angels that gave Jesus the ability to say, your will, not my be done. He doesn't ask us to do this on our own, does he?
No. And I think we really need to lean into adjectives. Too oftentimes we lean into verbs. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But use your adjectives. Use your words as we tell our children. I'm afraid. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I feel abandoned, punished. Use those words that really describe how you feel because God knows them. But when we say them out loud in our prayer, then we feel it ourselves. And then we can look at, this is the most important emotion I'm feeling right now. And how can I tackle it? How can I ask my friends to give me help? Might I need professional help to get to the other side of this? But when we try to mask our feelings with God, we're not getting his help and grace, and we can't lean on others as well.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Great insights, and I know that these tips are things that you have used tremendously in your own family life
yeah.
to get through all kinds of things. So thank you for sharing the benefit of your experience and wisdom. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, we encourage you to go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com, where you can learn about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Check it out. Rachel, thanks for being with us. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, Into the Desert. And we're talking about those times when you feel a little lost because there's a challenge you're facing in your personal life, in your relationships, in your emotional life, even spiritual life. You're not quite sure what to do about it. You're feeling a little stuck. If you're not quite sure what to do, we've got the guidelines you need to find your way through tough times. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Into the Desert, as we talk about those times when we feel kind of lost. You know, we're facing a challenge in our personal life and our relationships, even our spiritual life, and we're not quite sure what to do, what the next step is. Well, give us a call. We've got the guidance you need to find your way through tough times. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Catholic Community Radio.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, I have a 27-year-old grandson who was just diagnosed. He's my first grandson, and he was just diagnosed with stage 4 sarcoma cancer.
I'm so sorry.
He started chemo last week, but he is not religious, and I am very much so. I was raised Catholic, and I love my Catholic faith. And I don't know how to approach him with this because he's never really had any respect for religion. And his mother, though I raised her Catholic, she's atheistic. So, you know, that would give him some comfort if he could know about Jesus. But he only wants me to be his grandmother. I'm a registered nurse of many, many years. And he only wants me to be his grandmother. He doesn't want me to try to help him in all the basic ways of nursing that I know. So he's being very hard to approach, and he's only communicating with us on Facebook. His mom has been going there since they kind of pushed aside their grievances, but he's just he always has been very difficult to reach.
Is he in the hospital, or where is he now, Karen?
He's back home now. He's living in his boss's garage. They moved his furniture there last week, so he's in a nice bed now. He was in mattresses on the floor for weeks.
I want to be clear here. So he's fallen out with his mom. He lives far away from you, or?
Across the lake. I'm in Mandeville. He's in New Orleans. He's in Metairie, so it is.
I don't know how far is that? Can you get there to see him?
Well, we're talking probably 20 miles, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to talk to him on the phone at all, or he won't take your calls? Or I just want to understand the relationship here.
I text him, and sometimes he texts back, but a lot of times he doesn't. And he's been that way throughout his whole life. You try to get in touch with him, and he doesn't. I was going through his girlfriend for a while, and now they've broken up, so I had no choice but, you know, to go to him, and that's what I want to do anyway. You know?
Do you have the capability to go and see him at all?
Oh, yeah. I saw him last week.
Okay.
I've been out myself, so it's been kind of hard.
I understand.
You know?
Well, Karen, so we have to meet people where they're at and then try to pray through how we can move them even a step forward toward where we'd like them to be, where God wants them to be. You know, and you're saying that he wants you to be his grandmother right now. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think that you have a clearer sense of that. And I think it means he wants you to be with him. He wants you to talk about how he's feeling, really just let him vent and express how he's doing and what his thoughts and his concerns are. And as he's doing that, and here's how you can begin to introduce some faith into this. When he's talking to you, even when he's texting you, first, empathize. Give him your heart. I'm so sorry you're dealing with that. I really wish I knew what I could do to take this away, or I really wish I knew how I could be there for you. And then, without asking permission, just say, Lord, just please bless my grandson. Help me be the grandmother that he needs me to be, and know how I can love him the way you want me to love him. And then move on to another time. And then he says, oh, Grandma, I don't believe in any of that stuff. It's like, well, but I do. And then you don't have to make any more out of it than that. You just move on. So how can I get you a drink? Can I do, whatever. You change the subject. But the point is, you're bringing God into the conversation, but you're not doing it in a heavy-handed way. You're doing it in a relational way. You're doing it in a way where you're giving him your heart first. You're offering him your emotional support first. And when you really hit those walls where you don't know what to do, and you don't know what he needs from you, or you don't know how to be the grandmother that he really needs you to be, you pray out loud, and you ask for God's grace to know how to do that. Let's say he has a good day, and then again, you empathize with that. I'm so glad you're having a good day. That must be a real relief for you, Lord. Just thank you for giving him this break from just constantly feeling like a patient, and help me be the grandmother that he needs me to be today. And then you move on to something else, right? So it's not a matter of preaching at him. It's not a matter of hitting him over the head with the Bible or the catechism.
Or trying to convince him that God exists and is there for him, and that he should get into a relationship with God.
It's about modeling that kind of conversation with God that's helping you be more present to him. He's asking you to be present to him, and you're not sure how to do that because he doesn't want you to be the nurse that you are. He wants you to be his grandmother. So, in those times when you're feeling stuck, you're reaching out to God and asking for God's grace. And then again, if he pushes back on that, you can say, well, that's okay. I believe. And so, call me crazy, but I'm going to pray that God help me know how to be here for you. And then he sees you being present, being loving, being kind, drawing on God's strength in those times. That's a beautiful and powerful witness. And I think that we need to trust that the Holy Spirit can take advantage of those things instead of what our temptation is to kind of go in full bore have a religious argument with the person who's suffering. So, Karen, I'm so sorry that your grandson is going through this. It's terrible, and it sounds like he's got a lot of other personal and relationship issues too, but we're going to add your grandson and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list, you in particular, that God would lead you through this and help you be a loving and faithful presence in your grandson's life, to be able to use the suggestions we've made here on the call to enable you to minister to him on every level, but hopefully also witness to him to the power of God's grace in your life, so that when he's struggling, he might be more likely to reach out to God as well. Thank you so much for the call, Karen. And don't hesitate to let us know if there's more we can do to support you. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Into the Desert, as we talk about those times when we just feel a little lost and you're not quite sure what to do about that personal challenge, that relationship struggle, that emotional issue or spiritual challenge. We've got the guidance you need to find your way through tough times. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And as we're getting ready for our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 46, verse 10.
Be still and know that I am God.
And this is really what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show in our reflection, where we were talking about the challenge to move out of that reactive headspace and into a more receptive mindset. Be still and know that I'm God. When we are stressed or upset about something, we have a tendency to run around like the proverbial chickens with our heads cut off. And
at least inside our heads we do, yeah.
Trying to fix everything outside of us. When I get stressed, for example, I get very sensitive to disorder or messes. I suddenly notice the crooked picture frame across the room and I run over and I have to straighten it out, or the messy desk. How can I work with all this stuff all over the place? When really the problem isn't my messy desk or the crooked picture frame or the disorder around me, it's the disorder in me and the chaos in me. And so I have to learn first to still myself and refocus on God so that I can create the space for my thinking brain to turn back on, and for me to be able to consciously cooperate with the grace that God is giving me. And I have to say, every time I've done that, literally every time I've done that, I've been able to think through solutions that were not obvious to me before. And if not for the whole problem, then at least the next step that I could take, so that God could walk with me step by step through the whole situation. And I can promise you that if you take this verse to heart, and everything we've been talking about in the show to heart today, that you will be able to find your way through even the most difficult challenges. And let us help you do that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. The show again, Into the Desert. We're talking about those times when you feel challenged in your life or relationships and you're not quite sure what to do. If you're feeling stuck and you can't figure out where to turn or what the next step is, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor. The annual Rose Mass for Catholic healthcare workers, celebrated by Bishop Boyer, takes place on Saturday, March 14th at 5 p.m. at St. Francis in Ann Arbor, followed by a dinner reception. Dr. Bob Collins, nationally recognized oncologist, will share his journey of conversion and stories of grace and healing. Suggested donation is $25. RSVP at bit.ly/Rose Mass.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Into the Desert. We're talking about those times when we are dealing with a particular challenge in our life, our relationships, whether it's big or small, but we just feel stuck, and we're not quite sure what to do about it. Let us help you find the guidance, the tools, the insights you need to move forward and seek those solutions for tough times. 877-573-7825.
We have an email here, Greg, from Molly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Toledo, Ohio, on Ave Maria Radio. She says, I'm a mom of an adult daughter who is currently in a same-sex relationship. I've tried to gently explain that this isn't how she was raised and that the church teaching this isn't God's plan for that the church teaches this isn't God's plan for her. But every time I bring it up, she gets very defensive or angry. We still have some relationship. We talk every couple of weeks and we're in a family chat, but I have to avoid the subject completely if I want to keep the peace. I love my daughter deeply and I want her to come back to the faith, but I don't want to push her away either. How can I improve our relationship while still being faithful to what the church teaches? And that's Molly.
Molly, thank you for your question. And we do talk about this at greater length in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. So I'm going to encourage you to check that out, as well as taking to heart the suggestions we were able to make on the show today. One of the things that's very hard for parents of adult kids is we tend to think that, you know, we raised them in the faith and now they're doing this, right? I raised them to be Catholic and they are. And unfortunately, often what happens is we will take our children to church or even send them to Catholic school. They'll go to youth group. They'll do Catholic things. But the dots don't get connected between those activities and the personal relationship with Christ. So our kids get sacramentalized. Sometimes they get catechized, but they're not necessarily evangelized. You know, to be sacramentalized means that they went through the sacraments. You know, we took them, we had them baptized. They went, they received First Communion. They received confirmation. We took them to church. To be catechized means that somebody taught them faith facts, right? But to be evangelized means that there was a personal relationship there. And not just a one-off kind of a thing, but an ongoing personal relationship where they understood that God loved them, that he cares for them, that they can turn to him in struggles, that they want to follow him. Right? And often that's the piece that's missing in our kids' formation for one reason or another. So when you're approaching an adult child, you can't assume that they've been evangelized and then approach them with, you know, church teaching and say, you know, you're not living according to the church's teaching. You have to kind of approach them where they're at and understand where they're going. And there's a difference, and we talk about this in the book, between accompaniment and approval. You know, to approve of somebody means to say, everything you're doing is great, just keep doing it. Right? And obviously we can't do that in a situation like this. But to accompany somebody means to separate the intention from the action, to say, I recognize that you're trying to pursue a good thing. So in your daughter's case, I recognize that you want to be loved, that you are trying to pursue your identity. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to build a community of people who can love you. And I think that's all wonderful. I am concerned, though, and this is the piece where, you know, that going about it the way you are is not going to lead you where you think it is, or it's not going to give you what you're looking for. Call me crazy, but I'm your mom, and I want the best for you, and I have those concerns. And that's where I'm coming from. I love you, I want the best for you, and I'm worried that the way you're pursuing those good things won't work out the way you'd hoped. That allows you to come across as supportive of the good intentions, while still expressing those concern and leaving some tension in the relationship that allows you guys to continue having conversations about faith, about your relationship, about how you can be there for her, how you might not be able to be there for her. It allows you to create a space where you can be mutually respectful. You are showing her respect for her intentions or her needs, and you can ask her to respect your beliefs and your faith. It can be difficult for both of you, but there's enough charity and love in that exchange that it leaves room for both of you to exist with each other and to build something else. Beyond that, you want to look for ways to support her in any other healthy thing that she's doing or any appropriate choices that she's making. The more you can, you know, be part of her life in just a normal way, the more you build that relationship. And that's not supporting, quote unquote, the choices that she's making. You're just loving her, being a presence in her life. And think about it, you know, when we choose not to love God, when we choose to not follow God's plan, he doesn't abandon us, right? We don't stop breathing the second we sin. He continues to give us that next breath. You know, he doesn't approve of what we're doing, but he knows what we're trying to do, and he walks with us, and as soon as we're ready to let him lead us in a new direction, he will take us in that direction. In the meantime, he is there for us in all the ways that we allow him to be there for us. That's not God enabling us. That's God being present to us and giving us opportunities to reflect on the whole of our life and give the parts of ourselves that we can to him for now and give the other parts to him when we're ready. And that's the same kind of approach that we want to take with our adult kids. It's not approving of your daughter's choices to be part of her life, to support healthy choices, to, you know, have a fun day with her without this being the major issue. And when it does come up, the way to address it is, like I was saying, you appreciate the intention or the need behind the you know, that's driving the behavior and the choices, even while you express concerns about the way she's going about meeting that need. And that allows you to accompany her, even though you don't approve. And then have a relationship that allows God to work through you over time. Thank you so much for the question. We do talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. We did have a question coming from Paul in Tallahassee. He says, good morning, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I'd like to ask you a question since I'm currently at work. I'm struggling with my decision for whether I should endure my cross and stay working with my current supervisor or move forward out of my current employment of 18 years and a great pension. I pray to Jesus and I believe that God told me to follow him. Problem is, I don't know where he would lead me. I believe that if I leave this work, then I might have to retrain and be in a completely different line of work due to the network my supervisor has over the current industry. How do I know where God's leading me? Thank you. God bless you, your ministry. Paul, Tallahassee. Thank you, Paul, for the question. You know, so I want to talk about St. Ignatius had three modes of discernment, right? So when we're praying about something, the first mode is where God just sort of knocks you off your horse, right? You know, like he did with St. Paul. And well, that's the kind of discernment we want, right? We always want God to just kind of give us the big neon sign.
Yeah, we'd rather not be knocked off a horse and made blind, but we want it to be very direct and specific and hearing his voice kind of thing.
But God only tends to do that when it's not possible at all for us to figure out the answer on our own. So it was not possible for St. Paul to figure out that God wanted him to stop killing Christians and become one. Yeah. So he had to do a dramatic intervention. Right, and so that's when God tends to do that. Now, Saint Ignatius talked about a second mode of discernment, and basically he used the metaphor of watching the sun come up over the horizon in the morning. You know, at first you're looking over the horizon and it's just dark, but then there's a little bit of light, but you're not quite sure what's there, and then you see a little peak of the crown of the sun, and as you sit and you watch, it becomes clearer, and you see the light, and it suddenly dawns on you. Pun intended. What you're seeing? Well, that's the way that God tends to lead us when we're trying to discern between two basically good things. And so, as you pray about the choice of should I stay or should I go, basically, you sit with those two options and you keep bringing them to God and you keep exploring those possibilities, getting more information. You know, looking and seeing: are there other jobs in your industry that you could you build relationships with other people that, you know, your supervisor wouldn't be able to undermine? Are there ways for you to create space in the current place that you're working that allow you to tolerate the environment for until you're out to retire?
Or is God putting something on your heart that you really would like to do that you could train at night, either virtually or in person, when you're not on your regular working hours, so that you're not having that gap between leaving this employment and being trained in something else?
But you talk those things out loud to God, right? And then you sit in his presence, and maybe you pray a rosary to reflect and let God speak to your heart while you're praying the rosary. Or you pray out loud, and then you go to adoration, and you just sit in God's presence and just let him minister to your heart. And as you do that, the sun is rising, and it will become clearer to you which of these options you should take. You'll feel it in your heart. You'll just know that this is the right thing to do. The third way of discernment, as St. Ignatius says, is through our own will and intellect. We often kind of get all twisted up in trying to say, well, how do I know that's God and not just me? As Christians, we don't believe that we are capable of doing anything good on our own. If we do something good, if we are moved toward truth, if we're moved toward beauty, if we're moved toward goodness, it's because God is moving us. He's prompting us, and we're responding to that prompting. And so if our will and our intellect is saying, this is the right thing to do, we need to assume that that's God speaking to us through our will and our intellect. It's not, oh, is that me? Is that my voice, or is that God's voice? No, God is speaking to us through the will and the intellect that he created and he gave to us. And as long as we are uniting our will and our intellect to prayer, God speaks to us through it. And that, St. Ignatius says, would be, you know, when the normative way that God speaks to us. Not because he doesn't want to give us answers, but because he wants to think with us. And I use this metaphor a lot. You know, when I was a kid, I had math anxiety. And I would come home with my math problems. I'd sit there, and all the numbers would swim in the page. And I just wished that my parents would just solve the problems for me. But they wouldn't. They'd sit down next to me, and they'd say, okay, what's this number? Okay, and okay, now what's this symbol? Okay, that's a plus sign. Now, what's this other thing? Now, what do you do with those two things? And they would talk me through it step by step so that until the numbers stopped swimming and I was able to figure out what to do. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be competent. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be able to live all the virtues that he's given us and be confident in the abilities that he's given us to live well. And so that's how he does it. He draws closer to us through that process, and he helps us discover ourselves through that process. So my answer to you is, you know, I can't tell you what to do, obviously, but I can walk you through those processes by which you can figure it out. And I would just say that you keep bringing this to God out loud, investigating all the possibilities and gathering all the information, then bring it back to God and sit in his presence over time and watch the sun come up. Because that's when it will dawn on you what the right answer is. Paul, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. In fact, you'll find our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discernment. Check it out there at CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, if you are wrestling with a tough challenge in your own personal life or relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.